All right, so you shared a report with me,
Mm-hmm.
the 2024 State of Supply Chain Sustainability Report.
Yeah.
And
Really interesting stuff.
it is, and this is like the fifth annual one
Yeah.
that MIT and the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals have put together. So
Yeah. They've been doing this for a while.
they've really got a handle on this whole thing. And you were particularly interested in the stuff about how companies are actually doing with sustainability.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Are they really?
it's easy to be cynical, these days. And but this report actually, I think, offers some really interesting insights. For example, we talk about all these global crises, the pandemic, the war in Ukraine. You'd think that sustainability would kind of get sidelined.
I honestly would assume
Right.
that companies would just be like, all right,
Yeah.
we're just trying to stay afloat here.
Exactly.
Forget about all that other stuff.
Yeah, you'd think it would derail things, but actually, the report found that in many cases, these crises actually intensified companies' sustainability efforts, which seems counterintuitive.
It does seem counterintuitive.
Right. But when you think about it, companies are having to reevaluate their supply chains anyway because of all this disruption.
It's like we have to rebuild this whole thing. We
Exactly.
might as well try to make it more
Yeah.
sustainable from the ground up.
Yeah, you're forced to rethink things. So why not integrate sustainability into the solution, right?
Okay, that's
So
interesting.
it's not all rosy, though. This trend that we're talking about, where crises kind of accelerate sustainability efforts, it's not universal. Smaller companies with often, tighter resources, they were more likely to actually scale back their sustainability efforts during these tumultuous times.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're
Right.
if survival is on the line,
Yeah.
all of a sudden those long-term goals,
Right.
even really important ones,
Yeah.
can feel like a luxury.
Exactly. And it's not just small businesses feeling this. Pinch the report notes that just the economic anxieties of 2023, we had kind of a crazy year last year, made a lot of companies, large and small, hesitant to make big sustainability investments.
Yeah, because they're
But
looking at the bottom line.
it's that short term versus long term.
And that's always such
Thinking.
a it's such a tough dilemma, because it's like,
It
how do
is.
you
It's a tough one.
yeah how do you balance those two things?
Yeah, and that leads us very well into, I think, the next interesting point that the report raises, which is who is really pushing companies towards sustainable practices?
So who are these people holding companies' feet to the fire on this, making them
Whoa.
actually walk the walk?
So they look at 10 key sources of pressure. But the one that really jumped out at me, and I think this is fascinating, is investors. Because
That makes sense.
while pressure from all sources has been increasing since like 2019, investors are really leading the charge now.
Well, yeah, because they're thinking long game, right?
Right.
If a company tanks the planet, everybody's portfolio is going down with it.
It's not just about sort of like the ethical, like, oh, this is the right thing to do. It's really about their bottom line. Investors are realizing that sustainability is directly tied to long-term profitability, and they're looking at ESG factors, environmental, social, and governance factors as key indicators of a company's future success. In fact, I think the report said there was a recent study where something like almost 70% of institutional investors said that they would divest
Really, Senator?
from companies without a credible net zero plan, which is
Yeah,
huge.
that's a huge signal.
It's a huge
It's
signal.
not just about,
Yeah.
a feel-good CSR report that's tucked away on page 50 of their
Sure.
annual report anymore.
It's like front and center.
Front and center.
Yeah. And yet, this is where we get into a very, frustrating but maybe not surprising trend, which is that companies are very good at setting these big, ambitious sustainability goals, but there is a consistent gap
Between
between those
the
aspirations
words and action,
and their actual
it's
investments.
like that friend who's always talking about
Right.
eating healthier,
Right.
but you catch them with a donut every time.
Yeah, exactly. So are we just talking about a bunch of talk and no action here?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's a little more nuanced than that.
Okay.
The report actually found that the gap between the
Oh.
words and the actions is even wider when it comes to social issues.
Than environmental ones.
What do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is probably about measurability.
Okay.
Right? Environmental goals often have more straightforward metrics.
Yeah, you can measure carbon emissions.
Exactly.
Water usage, deforestation.
Exactly. Carbon emissions, water usage, deforestation.
Yeah.
It's much harder to quantify
right, yeah.
social issues, right?
Yeah. How do you measure a company's impact on
exactly.
human rights throughout their entire supply chain?
Right.
Or like ethical sourcing of raw materials.
It's a very complex thing
yeah.
to measure.
It's like comparing apples to
yeah.
the entire orchard.
Exactly.
Like you can.
Yeah, it's this whole
ecosystem.
We can weigh one apple.
Yeah.
But good luck measuring the entire orchard. Exactly. And that actually is a great segue into what the report identifies as kind of a major hurdle
okay.
for companies that are striving for genuine sustainability.
What's that?
And that's this whole issue of scope 3 emissions.
Okay, scope 3.
Yeah.
This is where things get really interesting.
This is the juicy stuff.
So for those of us who don't speak fluent sustainability,
sure.
break it down for us.
Yeah.
What are scope 3 emissions?
Okay, so in the simplest terms,
okay.
scope 3 emissions are all of the indirect emissions
okay.
that occur across a company's entire value chain.
Okay.
So we're talking about everything from the materials they source to the transportation of those materials,
mm-hmm.
the energy used by their suppliers.
Okay.
Even the disposal of their products at the end of their life cycle.
So it's like this.
It's a massive web of interconnected activities.
Wow.
And it can make up a really significant portion
okay.
of a company's total carbon footprint.
How much are we talking?
So the report actually highlights
yeah.
that scope 3 emissions can account for up to 75%,
75%
of a company's total footprint.
That's massive.
Yeah.
So most of their emissions.
Essentially, if a company is serious
yeah.
about tackling their environmental impact, they can't just focus on their own operations.
Right.
They have to look at this whole
web
network of emissions.
Yeah, this whole hidden network of emissions.
It's often hidden.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and how do you even begin to like
right.
measure and control that?
Exactly.
When you're talking about potentially,
it's a huge challenge.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Of not thousands of suppliers.
And that's the core challenge with scope 3 emissions is accurate measurement.
Right.
And the report really digs into this.
Okay.
And highlights the need for more robust mm-hmm. and transparent systems for tracking these types of emissions.
So it's not enough to just have good intentions.
No, it's not enough.
You have to have the systems in place.
You got to have the tools
yeah.
and the systems in place.
To actually make a difference.
To really make a tangible difference.
Okay.
And one of the things they argue in the report
yeah.
is that the current method that a lot of companies use for calculating scope 3 emissions,
mm.
which is called the spend-based method,
okay.
is actually part of the problem.
Wait, so the way we measure it...
The way we measure it...
Is actually...
Can actually work against us.
Hurting us.
Yeah.
How so?
Because it can disincentivize companies from actually making more sustainable choices.
Oh.
Because those choices often increase costs.
So you're saying if I'm a company and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to invest in this greener technology.
Right.
Even though it's more expensive.
Yeah. And your costs go up.
My costs go up. It actually.
Yeah. It can actually make your emissions look worse on paper.
Oh. Because it's tied to spending.
It's tied to spending.
Interesting.
Which is kind of a blunt instrument
okay.
for measuring this kind of thing.
Wow. So we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Kinda. Yeah. And that's a major roadblock.
Wow.
But thankfully, the report doesn't just give us all these problems and then leave us hanging.
Get some solutions.
They actually highlight some really exciting potential solutions
okay.
that are on the horizon, particularly when it comes to measuring and tracking
okay.
these scope 3 emissions.
Okay, so what are some of those solutions?
Well, they talk about some really promising developments, particularly in the realm of like
right.
data and technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine a system where you're using real-time data
okay.
and machine learning to actually track these emissions.
So instead of like these outdated spreadsheets and estimates we're talking about,
yeah.
like a live dynamic picture.
The dynamic picture.
Of where these emissions are actually coming from.
That's exactly right. Imagine like a sustainability dashboard
oh, cool.
for companies, right, where they could actually see
okay.
in real time the emissions associated with, you know, different suppliers,
yeah.
different transportation routes, different manufacturing processes.
So you can see the hotspots and be like, okay.
Exactly. You can see the hotspots. And then.
This is where we need to focus.
You can target your efforts where they're going to have the biggest impact.
That's awesome.
Right. And it also, I think, enables a much more collaborative approach
okay.
to supply chain sustainability. Because imagine instead of just going to your suppliers and saying,
Right.
You know, we need this cheaper. We need this faster.
Give me a lower price.
You can actually start to work with them.
We're going to work together to make this better.
Yeah. It's like, how can we actually reduce our impact together?
Right.
How can we make this better?
It's a shared mission.
It's a shared mission.
Yeah.
Instead of this kind of like
us versus them
adversarial
power dynamic.
Exactly. And then the other thing that the report emphasizes is this need for standardized measurement methods for scope 3 emissions, because right now.
Yeah, because it's like everybody's got their own different way of.
It's all over the map.
Measuring it.
It's the Wild West out there.
Right. So it's hard to compare.
Exactly. It's really hard to compare apples to apples.
So we need like a universal language.
We need a universal language.
Your sustainability.
We need a common set of standards.
Right. So everybody's on the same page.
So that we can actually track progress.
And we're all speaking the same language?
In a meaningful way, exactly.
Okay.
Because otherwise it just becomes...
How meaningless.
It's a lot of noise.
Yeah.
It's a lot of greenwashing, potentially.
Right.
So yeah, I think those are...
So it sounds like we're really kind of on the cusp of a real transformation here.
I think so.
And how we approach and manage
all
this stuff.
A real sense of, I don't know, I think there's a sense of urgency, but there's also a sense of optimism.
Okay.
Because what this report, I think, highlights is that
yeah.
while there's still a long way to go
right.
and a lot of work to do,
mm-hmm.
there's a growing awareness of the stakes.
Okay.
And a willingness to embrace new solutions.
Right. So we're seeing that shift.
We're starting to see that shift.
Even if it's gradual.
Yeah.
From the talk to the action.
From talk to action. From vague promises to...
To real concrete...
Concrete plans.
Plans and investments.
And investments, yeah. And that's really, I think, ultimately what's going to move the needle.
Yeah, and that's really encouraging.
It is encouraging. It really is. It all comes down to, I think, companies really internalizing this idea
yep.
that sustainability isn't just about, you know, mitigating risks or complying with regulations. It's actually about...
It's about building a better business.
Building a better business, a more resilient business.
Yeah.
A future-proof business.
Right.
The companies that figure that out are going to be the ones that thrive.
They're the ones that are going to come out ahead.
They're the ones that are going to come out ahead. On that note...
Yeah.
We'll wrap up this deep dive.
Sounds good.
Into the 2024 State of Supply Chain Sustainability Report. Always a pleasure.
But here's a final thought for you, our listener.
Okay.
To ponder.
Right.
What if?
What if?
Instead of just trying to reduce their negative impact.
Okay.
Companies will be viewing sustainability.
Yeah.
As like a driver of innovation and value creation.
Interesting.
Could we unlock a whole new level
yeah.
of sustainability?
Could we actually create a net positive impact?
One that's not just about doing less harm.
Right.
But actually having a
yeah.
beneficial impact.
That's a great question.
On the world.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Something to ponder.
Till next time.